out of the normal type of service this morning. It's my pleasure to introduce and welcome Andy Vance here. Welcome, Andy. Would you? The way the service will work, Andy is going to be up here playing with the music team, but he's also going to be playing individually, and in between I'm going to do a sort of an Andrew Denton or a Michael Parkinson, or pick your interviewer that you like, and I'm going to interview Andy a bit about his life and about his ministry, and hopefully that will encourage you. Good morning, Andy.
Morning, Peter.
Now, Andy and I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think we first met through our shared ministry with New Hope. Andy's a member of New Hope, and I think we met many, many years ago through doing the Whitehorse Carols together, and certainly when I occasionally go and preach at New Hope, Andy's often been one of the music team there. So we've known each other for a little while, but this is the first time you've been in St. Alfred, so welcome to you today.
Thank you very much.
Andy, we can see you're a musician. I presume you didn't come out of the womb playing a keyboard. So do you want to just tell us a little bit about your childhood and where this music interest started?
Yes, well, my mum was a professional violinist, became a music teacher. And all of her family, so my grandfather, who I never saw, was a house pianist, which meant that he played in church functions and all that sort of thing, and my grandmother was a choral conductor, very fine pianist, and because mum's brother and sister were both very fine musicians as well, so that's where the line comes from. So when I wanted to be a professional musician, as a popular musician, mum said, I don't think I know what she said, but she said, because in those days you could only be a classical musician, really. So,
and you wanted to be a pop musician?
Yeah. That's what I wanted to do. Yeah.
And you've grown up in Melbourne. Are you a local boy?
Yeah, Box Hill.
So very local.
Yeah, born in Murrumbeena, but mum and dad shifted to Box Hill in 1954.
Now, I've heard a rumour that although you worship in a Baptist church, your roots are more solid than that. How do you answer that, eh?
Well, I could say when I was an Anglican, it was the time that I went away from the Lord. So, had a very fine Christian upbringing. We went to St. Peter's, Box Hill. Higher or lower than this?
Yeah, more like that.
Okay. And went to Helen's great surprise the other day, went to Melbourne Grammar School. And so we had chapel twice a week, an assembly where we had hymns, and we went to church on Sundays. So that was my grounding. And I actually used to play the hymns for the Sunday school kids. So I'm looking back, that's where my roots are.
So
I'm
you've
very
been
thankful for
from
it.
A musical point of view, you've been formed by that experience of being in the church from an early time, early days.
I'm very thankful for it. Just looking at the Psalms, we used to read a psalm in chapel twice a week in response, and it was fantastic.
Well, that's a lovely segue. Thank you for giving me that, talking about psalms. So, Andy, you're a recording artist, and you've just recorded an album called It'll Go Well With You, and you're going to sing a couple of songs off this album, so that's what the album looks like. And we're going to start with a well-known psalm, Psalm 23, but before you sing that, I'm going to ask Lynn if she would come up and read that for us. So if you have a Bible and you like to follow, it's Psalm 23. Thanks.
Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shepherd, he gives me all I need. He leads me by still waters, and we lay in pastures green. Oh, I walk through death's shadow, the valley of my sin. Lord, your rod and staff, they comfort all my fears. The Lord lays a table among my enemies, and with all my head's anointed, and my cup it overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will always follow me. In your house, O God, I'll dwell forevermore. Paths of righteousness. The Lord restores my soul to him. He guides me for the sake of his glorious name. Jesus, you are my shepherd, and you are all I need. Jesus, you are my Savior. Jesus, you're my Lord and King. Surely goodness and mercy will always follow me. In your house, O God, I'll dwell forevermore. 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 In your house, O God, I'll dwell.
Thank you.
Andy, that was lovely. Now, you didn't always play that style of jazzy Christian music. I believe, and some people here will remember a television... Put up your hand if you remember a television program called Countdown. Molly Meldrum, the Akubra, and all the big Australian... Is it true, Andy, that once upon a time you played a style of music and you were in a band and you were on Countdown?
That is correct. And we had a single on the top 40. So.
Tell us a little bit about that. How did you come to be in the music industry and getting on television and all of that?
Well, it was after my conversation with my mum, and eventually I got into a band that I was asked to be in. Then I became the chief writer of the band because I've been writing music since I was about 12, 13 songs, and we became reasonably successful. We were an alternative band. We actually got a contract with Warner Brothers, and and to my surprise, when I sold all my vinyl records that I couldn't play anymore at home a few years ago, this fellow who bought them said that band has a cult following worldwide still. And the album vinyl is worth $500. So there you go. So it was then. And
now people are wondering what the band was called.
The band was called Chitarka, Chetarca. And
Chitarka.
Yeah. It's a bit like an Indian. I don't know where the name came from, but somebody gave us the name. And on my first date with my then girlfriend, now my wife, she said, "Were you in Chitarka? I remember seeing you on Countdown." She went out and bought the single. So how's that, eh?
And that's how she became your wife, obviously.
That's right.
Started as a fan and became your wife.
You could take any stream you like.
Chitarka obviously didn't keep on going, and you must have changed directions at some stage. You said earlier on that, you know, you began with some Christian formation in the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
You turned away, you got involved in the music industry.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how you came to faith then and when that happened.
It was my wife, Alison, when we were going out, and it was getting pretty serious. So this is the early 80s, 1982, and Alison invited me to church. And so I went, and within 3 weeks, I made a commitment to the Lord. I had to go to the church on my own, and it was Truth and Live, where John Smith used to be. And so that was a wonderful experience, probably a good experience to go through. And and then I started reading. Ali gave me a copy of the New King James, and the book of James really spoke to me, faith in action. And I haven't put the book down since. It's just, I had a vision of the Lord, and then he laid out what I was going to be doing musically. So we had a little conversation recently. We're in Thessaloniki in Macedonia about a month ago, and I said to her while we were walking, I was on a mission trip working with a church there, said if he hadn't asked me to church, we wouldn't be in Thessaloniki. So it's... I wouldn't be here either. So it's been wonderful.
Now, you just skimmed over a statement, "I had a vision from the Lord." Do you feel comfortable telling us a little bit about that?
Sure. So about that year, Alison and I were engaged, and I was living in a place of my own, and... So I was asleep one night, and the Lord appeared to me. In a conversation, it's like a dream and a vision at the same time, and basically told me that I was going to do jazz versions of hymns, some teaching, and it just kind of muddled around from that. I did become an academic, teaching at university and stuff like that. And then, of course, I was already an established recording artist. So I've been recording since the earliest recording is 1972. So there are gifts that God's given me to use in my non-Christian life, which now are used as a professional musician, and I get to work with people with their CDs and this sort of thing. So it's been an amazing journey. And then witnessing to people and then actually starting my own ministry, which basically started about 15 years ago. Was just, and I thought it was going to be one album, and now it's just the new one's the 10th album of him. So, yeah, and I've got a publishing deal in Germany, and yeah, it's been amazing. So I travel to Europe quite a lot now. So
it'd be fair to say that vision from the Lord changed the direction of your life.
It did. Yeah. Completely, yeah. And
did it change your music?
Not the way I played, because I didn't have to be a Hillsonger or Chris Tomlin or anything like that. It's just I'm the person I am, and it's a gift that I was given. So, and it's very unusual. There's not many Christian jazz musicians who perform professionally, and so it's. It's really good, and so it didn't change the way I played. In fact, I'm more go down the way of avant-garde if I can, surprises, so.
Now, another thing that most people here this morning won't know, but I know, is you're legally blind, aren't you?
So where are you, mate?
Yeah.
Oh, you're there, right, okay. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
So you can't drive a car?
Nope.
Can't drive a car, and you're limited in some other things that you can do.
Yep.
So just tell us a little bit about that. How has that happened and what the cause is?
Yeah, well, my mum, the violinist, was carrying a gene that myself and my two brothers also got. They're older than me. One is... Both of them are pretty much completely blind. It's name of the disease is a bit like a rock band, retinitis pigmentosa. So it's, and it can have sort of various stages of degradation. Fortunately, the Lord has blessed me with a stability at the moment, and so I was diagnosed in 1994, and it was quite I had to change sort of my whole. Outlook on life, really, but it's actually been a blessing because I can work out how to work through the struggles. But one of the great things about it is that even though with a disability you sort of try to be fiercely independent, I'm dependent totally on the Lord and also on people. That's wonderful, so yeah.
Some people say if you're deficient in one sense, you increase in another sense. have you found your ear is better from a musical point of view, or...?
Well, I'm deaf in one ear, so...
What do you like on smell?
So, that's right. So, but that's it's a, really all that happens is that you use your facilities more. They don't intensify. They only intensify because you use them. But it'd be like I could kick both feet with football, and, but I only could kick the left foot because I... practiced it, so if I didn't kick, I wouldn't be able to do it. So it's the same thing with vision, so I think, and the hearing or whatever. So, but I think you hear things. God's given me a gift to hear things, to listen. Listening is, although I'm doing a lot of talking this morning, listening is really important. And as musicians, we tend sometimes not to, and to be in our own sort of space too much, but anyway.
Okay. Let's hear another track off the album. It's it's the title track, isn't it?
Yes.
It'll Go Well. Tell us where that comes from and why you've written this.
Yes, it's from Deuteronomy 6:3, where, "Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, so that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and..." Oh, there it is up there. Just as the Lord, you got it.
Now, just stop
promised.
A minute. People will be intrigued that you saw that. So just explain how you can see that.
Yeah, so I can see as far as anybody here can. I can go to the footy, nobody can see the ball when you go to the cricket because it's down somebody's trousers and they've got to put a sandpaper around it. But,
Moving on.
Well, I've got to tell you, Ellie and I were in a we're in Texas, and we're in a little tour, and there was an English couple in front of me, and they introduced ourselves. The first thing the guy said, "Let's talk about the cricket." Oh, mate. And he was going to hammer it. But he was really disappointed because his grandson really admired Steve Smith. But anyway. It's tunnel vision. So I'm looking at you. I can't see Michael Parkinson. And so I'm looking at Peter and I can't see you guys. And that's it. And it does have some problems when you're socialising and carrying on conversation. Or you might be... I got caught out. Remember Smorgies? So, I had that sort of South Sea Island stuff. You had to queue up for your meals and stuff. And I was queuing up. And just said, gee, the queue's not moving, you know. And I bumped into this fellow. I said, oh, sorry, man. And it was one of the totem poles. There's plenty of those where they came from. So, It'll Go Well With You was a sermon by our pastor, Alan DeMond, and it was very inspiring. And when I recorded it, Ali said, you've got to make that the title track because it's sort of catchy the song is a little bit political because I'm not really a political activist, but and it's also the album is a little bit autobiographical, and this track has a little bit of that in it. So if you do happen to buy the album or any of my albums, this one particularly, society doesn't talk about sin much, but a lot of my songs talk about that in relation to my own life and how Jesus has saved me from that. And I think that the music has been able to help me express that really well. And,
okay.
No holds barred. Do you want me to sing it?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
It'll Go Well.
Come and show me your love. Your faith will help you trust and obey. I'm with you every day of your life. Need no sacrifice. Let no idol entice. It's easier than ringing a bell because it's going to go well with you. All of my life was I myself and me. When I got lost, I used my sad navy. Lost myself on the map. Now my life is an app. The Father said there's no need for that because it's going to go well with you. It's going to go well with you. It's gonna go well with you. Thank you. was hot, they called it climate change. Now I'm so cool, my life is rearranged. Here's my family tree, Father, Son, and me. The Holy Spirit speaks the truth because it's going to go well with you. The Father said, now keep a cool head because it's going to go well with you. And Jesus is alive to tell because it's going to go well with you. It's going to go well with you. It's gonna go well with you.
Well, we sense some of your passion there, Andy. You've been recognised in the music industry. You've been nominated for an ARIA or two.
Actually, I discovered it was three. The other day it was in a compilation album from the...
I was going to say, tell us what you've been nominated for.
From the 80s, yeah. So it was... So the main was the first album of hymns, which I did, Amazing Grace. And as I thought, it was going to be a one-off. And came home from holidays once and all these congratulations on the answering service. Well, they have those in those days. And I rang my mum and said, we'd got home from Holland. She said, I suppose you're ringing us to tell us the good news. And we'd been nominated, the album Amazing Grace, been nominated for an ARIA, and it was in the top five of 200 albums. So it was pretty amazing. And I just thought, well, yeah. And it was, it was wonderful because it inspired me and this was what I was going to do, you know. So it's affirmation from the Lord.
Tell us, Andy, a little bit now about what you do now in terms of, you've mentioned travel and you mentioned some academic work. And so what does ministry look like for you these days?
Well, I sit at home and work on new projects. So, I suppose I use the word waiting and how the Lord would call me. And so fortunately I've been asked to be involved with an organisation called Crescendo in Europe, which is part of what you may remember was called Campus Crusade, and which is now called CRU for obvious reasons. And so I'm part of that organisation. I get to go to Hungary every year and teach in a Christian summer camp. And, it was wonderful. And I met some people from Thessaloniki in my first year there, and they invited me to work in their church. And so we organised that for this year. I did a mission trip there, and it was wonderful. I did a concert and a couple of presentations, and also got the opportunity to play in a refugee centre. So I didn't think that God wanted me to play for Muslims, but there were 260 of them. And three girls were dancing to what I was playing. It was a Doobie Brothers version of How Great Thou Art. I kid you not. And we didn't know what I had to talk about. They didn't give me a brief until we were going in, and they knew that there was going to be a Christian message, test me. So I gave test me while I'm playing the piano, and had to hold a microphone with one hand, and a guy who's from Egypt was doing the translation. But when I started, I sort of didn't know what to say, and I brought up this topic again, which was there was some Pakistani guys and guys from Afghanistan, and I said, any of you guys like the cricket? And they, yes, like this. It was like, how's that, you know? And I didn't talk about sandpaper. But the thing was that, because Australia was playing Pakistan just the last couple of weeks, and I said, we're playing you guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And out of the palm of my hand. It was just, and anyway, the guy from who's the head of the organisation, afterwards said it was a real movement of the Holy Spirit, that one. So it was, but it was, because the thing is, it, whatever medium you've got to encourage you, if you, I love sport, but I just like getting beside people, and music has allowed me to get beside people and talk to people and use the gift of just listening and talking, and Ali and I are on the welcome team, we talk to people a lot, and so the gift becomes expanded, and it's you never know where God's going to take you, and it's, I encourage you, you know, whatever small gift you have, we have a neighbour over for a cup of tea a few times a week, she's on her own and all this sort of stuff, it's just, that's what it is, it's, it doesn't, in the Bible, it's just Jesus hanging out with his mates. It wasn't sort of talking about, you know, how you convert people or all, and it was just there listening, and that's what we do. So
it's very inspiring listening to you, Andy, and obviously being involved in ministry, in, you know, talking to people in other countries, playing music, you've I don't know if overcome's the right word, but you've managed your own disability and you've... Yes, overcome that perhaps. And do you have anything to say for anyone here today who's might be struggling with feelings like, oh, I could never do what you do, or I can't do that, or I've got problems in my life that hold me back?
Yeah. The way through these struggles has always been reading the scriptures, and I found that each morning, usually God sort of gives me something to go ahead with the day and the next morning. And if you've had a rough day, because, you know, there might be issues, especially with my disability, and some things don't happen, or I can't go somewhere or whatever. But, and with music, there's certainly the aura of trying to be successful, and success, I've dealt with that a long time ago. Just, you know, as a jazz musician, you know, it's always going to be issues, but the thing is, with the gifts that you've been given, there's always struggles, but the great thing is that we are given struggles because God has shows you the way to work through those struggles, as opposed to sort of ignoring them. And having a disability, I don't ignore the fact I've got a disability, but God shows me ways of talking to people just about what they do. Not necessarily about your disability. You end up talking about your ability to do something. And fortunately, I suppose my disability puts me in that spot. But I tend not to talk about it a lot. I tend to sort of just become friends with people and start conversations. You know. So very exciting.
So I think if I'm understanding you, your main message there is do what you can do.
Yes.
Don't focus on what you can't do.
That's right.
Do what you can do.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
under God, God will direct you.
Yeah. Well, if he called fishermen and people like that, tax collectors, boy, it's amazing.
So. You mentioned before you spoke in a refugee camp, and the last song we're going to hear off your album is about God being a refuge from Psalm 16.
Mm.
So would you like to just tell us a little bit where that song came from, other than the actual scriptures, obviously?
Yes. It was a friend from Germany and sent me a copy of this psalm, and thought it might be a few years ago. It might be a good basis for a song. And there's a lovely verse just in the middle of it. It says about a goodly heritage, I think, in my version. And it this person was struggling with family issues, and so she'd asked me to write a song and about this. So, and it's a beautiful verse at the end. It's, you've made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And it's a description of the Lord, really. I think that's the last verse. But speaking to these people in the refuge centre, but really... people seeking refuge, and we seek refuge in the Lord too, but these people were completely disconnected from their own culture, and they're in another culture trying to get to another one, trying to get to Germany. And I also had in one of my experiences at Hungary this year, was I was teaching a little little boy who was a fine trumpet player and is really starting to come out of his shell, didn't speak much. And he had about three lessons from me in improvisation, and he was really flowering by the end of it. Spoke to his dad at the end of the conference, and I said, you know, was there any issues with the boy? And he said, yeah, he was abandoned, and they found him in Bulgaria, and they adopted him. And they adopted his sister as well a couple of years later, or a sister for him a couple of years later. And you can be abandoned in Australia, okay, and that's pretty terrible, but if you're abandoned in Bulgaria, what would that mean? And at the age of four, what's happened in his life? But this kid wanted, I've got a lovely picture, and he couldn't speak at the age of four. And he's in year eight now, and he's very intelligent and a fine musician. And the father said he's just caught up to his age group now. They were not Christian. They found the Christian camp as a summer camp. And fortunately, he was having lessons from the lead trumpet player of the European Chamber Orchestra, who happens to be an English guy. So we sort of talked about this sort of stuff. So being in that position to see people seeking refuge, and this psalm this song is about that. And today is the 50th anniversary of the passing of my father. So it was a refuge that I lost, but my mum and then the Lord became my refuge. So, you want to sing it? Let's hear You Are
My Refuge.
You are my refuge, Lord. You keep me safe, oh God. Oh Lord, you are my Lord. There's nothing else that's good. I will not run or turn to other gods. There's only you, my Lord, whom all the saints adore. Portion and my cup, oh God. In pleasant places you have set the boundaries. My family and friends, I show the love that you have shown to me through Christ at Calvary. Thank you. this song to you, O Lord. I lift my voice. In Jesus Christ, I'm not abandoned. I am safe. And by your grace, my life's secure in every way. And in your love, and in your presence, Lord, I'm filled with joy. The pleasures of your land.
Thank you. Been a fantastic audience, congregation. And I just want to pay tribute to the musicians here. Sometimes when I do church gigs, I get to play with great bands, and it's a great band here. And it's not only that, it's you meet new friends playing music, and really enjoyed because I've had to learn some new songs this week, and it's great just to hang out with some guys from a different place and enjoy each other's company and play great music together. So, and also catching up with Peter again. And this was, I played this song to him when he saw me playing in Coorong. And so I didn't ask to come. He just came up with the idea that I would come here. So it was an absolute honour to be here. So thanks for having me.
Thanks, Andy. You're reminding me, the way this morning came about was I wandered into Coorong and Andy was sitting there playing and he started singing to me as I walked in.
So I changed the words to actually how great thou art, so he couldn't be how great. So, and he came up close and I said, you want to hear the Doobie Brothers version? So I went, you know. And I, in awesome wonder.
And this little germ of an idea started in my mind. Maybe we could do something together. Anyway, Andy, it's been a delight having you here this morning, and I'd just like to finish by praying for you and for us. But let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you've done in Andy's life. We thank you for revealing yourself to him and pointing. Amen.